5, we should be able to finish that before noon? Or do you think?
Well, I'm not sure, Mr. Chairman. However, I do believe that most of the members on this committee and the people testifying are not stupid, so it should move along quite quickly.
I feel better. Let's go ahead.
Mr. Chair, can I respond?
Senator Staggers.
You know, the last bill we passed, the assumption implicit behind the bill is that consumers are kind of dumb. They're not smart enough to be able to ask a question. I have more confidence in consumers than the other members of this committee.
Well, thank you for that, Senator Staggers. We'll move on now with Senate Bill 245, proponents of 245.
I hate to give Senator Staggers the last word, but Senate Bill 245 is an act to create a healthcare access and preservation trust fund and to provide for the earnings from the trust fund to be used for certain healthcare purposes. I do have an amendment, and I'm not sure if the chair prefers that we do this amendment right away, or if you want to discuss the bill and then bring forth the amendment.
Let's do the bill and then bring the amendment.
Okay. The bill is, if you can rely a little bit on your institutional memory, and last year, there was a bill, Senate Bill 124, that we passed, and it created a mechanism to get the intergovernmental transfer monies from the federal government to the state. And that mechanism was a good deal because we have generated some funds, and hopefully we'll generate a few more before the federal government cuts us off. But these funds are due in part, and I think we'll have other testimony to this effect, and hopefully Jim Allenbecker can give you the specific rules and regulations on that. But it has provided us a source of revenue that I think we should utilize for healthcare, because we got it based on healthcare. And it was the difference between what we charge or what we get for Medicaid and Medicare, and there's a gap in there. And so the federal government, out of the goodness of their heart, said, well, we have been kind of cheating you a little bit, so we're going to give you these funds for a certain limited time. And so that was why we passed that Senate Bill 124. And currently, these funds are being placed, and if you'll see the bill, it's being placed in the Intergovernmental Transfer Fund. And what we're doing is we're actually amending the sections, Statute 28631, 33, 35, and 36, to insert the words of the Healthcare Access and Preservation Trust Fund. What we will do is have these funds put into this special fund and then also have them invested by the Investment Council, and hopefully that we would not utilize the principal, but just utilize the interest. The principal, if necessary, if we needed, if we had some healthcare crisis, then we could, by 3/5 vote of both houses, utilize these funds for that purpose. I guess that is kind of the nutshell of the bill. We did have this amendment that we need to put on before we go too far into the bill, because it does make a kind of a dip into those funds. We now have approximately, I think it's $35 million, and if it continues to go that way, we should have about up to $75 million before we have the discontinuing date. I think it's about 2002 that we'll no longer be able to get these funds. It may be to the committee's advantage, and also maybe the support of the bill, if we could have some testimony from, say, Jim Allenbecker, the Secretary of Social Services, where this money is eventually transferred in and out of through this government transfer funds, to explain to you the procedures if you are wanting that information. A lot of this was maybe not explained too greatly last year because it came at the end of the session, and we needed this bill, the 124, in order to get this mechanism moving. But we did not have in that bill any means of appropriations by the legislature. This bill will have that in there.
Thank you, Senator Brown. Now, we've got a copy of an amendment, 245BA. Anybody on the committee that would want to move that now? Yeah. Moved Ham, seconded McIntyre to 245BA. Those in favor, is there discussion? Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. Is that a roll call? Yeah. Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, then. We've moved Amendment 245BA. It's open to discussion if you want to discuss it now, or we can perhaps...
Jim, Kurt Everson is here from the Bureau of Finance and Management, and he would, I think, be readily available to discuss this amendment if you'd like to.
All right, then, if the name of the committee would just hold it until he gets up to testify, assuming that he will, and we'll move on with Senator Hinn. Oh, I'm sorry. Further proponents of Senate Bill 245?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. My name's Dave Hewitt. I'm the president of the South Dakota Association of Healthcare Organizations and representing that organization with my comments today. I think Senator Brown has provided you with a good description and analysis of the bill, and I'd like to take the discussion a bit broader and out into the future if I could. You know, these funds will be made available to South Dakota through September of 2002. It's a federal regulatory decision as to when those funds are actually cut off to the state. But this really does provide a one-time and I would call it very unique opportunity for the state to gather one-time funds, if you will, because of what we would say differences in funding for nursing homes between Medicare and Medicaid, and apply those dollars to the future health care needs of this state. I know that just watching, you may recall Professor Satterley's presentation a couple of weeks ago to legislators and others, fascinating. I mean, and if you listen to that carefully, you know that we have some real challenges in healthcare facing South Dakota in years to come. Changing demographics, shifting populations, and changing technologies in healthcare all will present new and different challenges for healthcare, maintaining healthcare in this state. And I think some of those problems, while we can guess at them right now, we don't know exactly what they will be. This bill creates the Healthcare Access and Preservation Fund. It says that in a dire emergency, we can take the principal and spend that, the legislature, via a three-fifths vote. But what this is really meant to do is generate earnings, if you will, interest. And those interest earnings are designed to provide funds for health care programs and needs of this state. And that's what future legislatures will determine. That money will be there. And given the fact that we have such great challenges facing us, access to health care in the rural portions of the state being really our number one, if I was to identify any, this is a responsible thing to do. It's for the future of South Dakota and for the future of health care in South Dakota. Thank you very much.
Are there questions from the committee?
Thank you.
Hearing none, then, are there further proponents of Senate Bill 245?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Kurt Everson. I'm the Commissioner of Finance and Management, and I want you to know that the governor is in support of Senate Bill 245 and the concept that Senator Brown is bringing forward for your consideration. The amendment that Senator Brown was kind enough to offer was basically a concession to part of the governor's budget plan for next year, where he was planning to ask the legislature for the authority to spend $1.5 million of the intergovernmental transfer proceeds on a one-time basis for basically a seed money for the diabetes screening program in the Department of Health, and supplemental funding for the neuromuscular disease device program that was started last year with some one-time funds that the legislature granted to the Department of Human Services. And so that's what's embodied in the amendment. We're certainly in support of the amendment and in support of the bill. Be happy to answer any questions.
Questions, Senator Steger?
Yeah, Kurt, on the diabetes screening program, approximately how much is that going to cost per year?
I think the number, Senator Steger, that I have heard is approximately $4 million, most of which they anticipate being able to generate in terms of donations from private organizations that are willing to sponsor that program.
Senator Steggers,
any idea how much the state funds?
Well, the only dollars that we would be talking about would be this $500,000contemplated in this amendment, and then probably some in-kind dollars in terms of staff of the Department of Health to support the effort.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Hamm.
Kurt, you're going to have to draw me a picture.
Okay.
$35 million, just kind of tell me again, it's the difference between Medicare and Medicaid and what we actually have been getting, and this is an accumulation over a period of years, or?
Yeah, I think Secretary Ellenbecker from the Department of Social Services can probably explain better the technical aspects of how this all works, how it came about. This is a new, what I know about it, this is a new program to South Dakota. It's one that some other states, I think, have been kind of into the federal trough for longer than we have, and basically it is a provision within the federal laws governing Medicare and Medicaid that allow us to do this. But
are there others we need to be out there looking for? I mean, I'll wait and ask Mr. Allen.
All right, then, are there further questions? Senator Wilson?
Kurt, I know that I think the diabetes screening really became important to the governor because of some type of activity done with the actual state employees. I mean, right. And they found a number of people walking around and not knowing they were diabetic. And to your knowledge, has there ever been any discussion about doing a PSA test?
I have.
So we could really educate the public on the importance of that.
Yeah, I have not been in on any such discussion, Senator Olson. No.
Further questions from the committee? If not, then thank you. Are there further proponents of Senate Bill 245?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Jim Ellenbecker. I'm Secretary of the Department of Social Services, and let me help you a little bit understand where this is coming from and what the state's done and how you've participated already. Senator Brown mentioned Senate Bill 124. That was passed late last legislative session, and it was really authorizing legislation for the department to look into this particular program area, see if there's something we could benefit from, and if we could, we had an idea of how that would happen. We'd funnel it back through five nursing homes in the state that are publicly owned, and the state would generate additional revenue that then would be placed in the intergovernmental transfer fund that was provided for in last year's legislation. We've been doing that. We have some of the money in place today. We'll be claiming more yet this fiscal year, and I'll walk you through those numbers in just a little bit. Maybe first try to explain to you a little bit. We've got two sets of federal regulations that allow, they're kind of principles, if you would, about how we do business with the federal government in this area. What one of them is called the Medicare upper payment level, and another is called intergovernmental transfer program funding by the federal government. These are both programs or methods that are provided for in federal statute, and it's how you do them in conjunction with each other allows us to claim additional federal funding. Currently, the upper payment limit regulations really say that the state Medicaid program maximum for payment in nursing home cannot exceed the Medicare payment level. And this is a principle that's out there. It's always been there. We've always had a cost-based reimbursement system with our nursing homes, and we pay less than Medicare does under that cost-based reimbursement system. There's a detailed calculation then done between what Medicare would pay for and what the state would pay for on individual facilities for Medicaid recipients. The difference between that calculation and then is claimed by the state through our normal claims system to the federal government, and then we then earn those funds, we make the payment to the five nursing homes which were provided for in statute. They must immediately return that money to the state in those separate payments, and then we deposit those payments in the Intergovernmental Transfer Fund. That also allowed us then to place the state general funds, now become what other funds, and they're placed into another account. So we have two accounts that are provided for in current statute, and it's new revenue to the state. I think that's the best way to look at it. It's a substantial amount of money. In the current year, we believe that we will earn about $32.5 million of federal money that now becomes state funds in the Intergovernmental Transfer Fund program. We expect, as it's said, been said already, that we're going to be able to continue to claim that money up till September of 2002. The federal government has, in recent months, moved to close this avenue. South Dakota's on the shorter end of it because we haven't been doing it quite as long. There are some states that are getting up to 6 years to phase out of this claim system. And obviously, the entire purpose of these funds from the federal government's participating is to have those funds available to states for health care purposes in their states and not other purposes. As I would say to you that everything that we've done here is above board. We follow and complied with Medicaid statutes and regulations in claiming this money. We have an approved state Medicaid plan approved by the federal government. And then we had our state laws last year that were passed, SDCL 28628 through 28636. And so all the laws have been properly followed in claiming this money. This is money that the state now, in the future, through the trust fund, can make independent decisions about on an annual basis about using the proceeds from the earnings off that fund for health care purposes in our state. I'd be glad to answer any questions that you might have.
Other questions from the committee? Senator Sutton?
Thank you. Can you tell me, okay, just to walk me through, currently you say this year we should receive $32.5 million?
That's the new, what I'd call the revenue.
Okay, the revenue. Now, yeah, this continues till 2002, if I may, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
Till 2002. So what's the ultimate figure that...
It's right close to the $75 million figure that was stated earlier.
Okay, 75. Okay. Thank you.
Are there further questions from the committee? All right, then. Thank you. Are there further proponents of Senate Bill 245?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, committee members. South Dakota, my name is Mark Dayock, Executive Director of South Dakota Healthcare Association. We certainly do support this bill. I very much want to congratulate Senator Arne Brown for bringing this forward. The one point I would like to make that I don't believe has been made yet is these dollars originally were Medicaid dollars. They originally were channeled to governmental nursing facilities. In our view, these are long-term care dollars, and ultimately when the committee is in a position to decide their use, they ought to be used for long-term care. Most of you probably are familiar with the state of many of our nursing homes. Just to give you an idea, we have one of the lowest Medicaid reimbursement rates in the country. We're third from the bottom, in fact. We're at $73 a day. Think about what you pay your babysitter. It's, as you see, that's less than $4 an hour. And that's for round-the-clock, 7 days a week nursing care. So I would just encourage all of you, this is a great opportunity going forward for us to help our grandparents, help our parents, help any of us that might need long-term care. And I just strongly suggest that you consider that. I would also emphasize that one reason, as Jim Ellenbecker mentioned, these funds dried up was because they were abused in other states. Certainly do not want that to happen here in any way. And there's a reason I say that. I was out in Washington last week, and there seems to be some interest, although it's a small amount of interest, in possibly opening up these funds again. The idea behind it is that the new administration, President Bush, his home state of Texas, received money through this IGT program originally. And then the new Director of Health and Human Services, Tommy Thompson, former governor of Wisconsin, also received money through this program. So the idea is they might think of the program favorably. If there's certainly a chance to continue to get the monies going, we will try to do that. But as for right now, certainly want to preserve what we have and just remind all of you where these dollars came from and what we believe they should ultimately be used for. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee? If not, then are there further proponents of Senate Bill 245? Hearing none, are there opponents of Senate Bill 245? Opponents of Senate Bill 245? Hearing none, we'll close to committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Olson?
I guess I have one more question, if I could.
You can.
And Senator Brown, I'm sure you're the one that will be ready to answer this. You can sit there. Arnie, if I might, why did you pick a 3/5 vote instead of a 2/3 vote?
Do you have another question, sir?
I apologize for stumping you.
That was a number that was kicked around by other than the legislators, and we had no problem with it in one way or the other. The concern we had or we should have as legislators, is that we do want to have access to those funds when there's a need, and there could be a need, and I hope that the testimony that you just heard before isn't slanting it one way or the other, but long-term care is definitely a need. But also we have a lot of childhood health care issues that we should be addressing. And so that number, I think, was one that maybe came from somebody who felt that we now have a new number instead of 2/3. And so it would go down in the history books as a 3/5. And, of course, many of you maybe know what 3/5 are. And there's one here, and one there. And that's about as close as I can come to not giving you the author of the 3/5.
Senator Olson, is that an adequate answer for your needs?
Mr. Chairman, is this Senator Brown's last bill today? Because if he's got any more, I'm going to need some no-dos. Thank you very much.
Further discussion on Senate Bill 245 as amended.
Mr. Chair.
Senator McIntyre.
I move do pass.
Moved McIntyre. Second Sutton, do pass on Senate Bill 245. The clerk will call the roll. Do pass as amended, Senate Bill 245.
Petrie.
Aye.
M.
Aye.
McIntyre.
Aye.
Stager.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
And Helmer.
Aye.
Are you sure we got 3/5?
That'll be 21 senators and 42 House members.
All right, then, Senate Bill 245 will go to the floor with a do pass as amended.
Thank you for that vote, and don't expect 3/5.
All right, then. All right, we didn't get to one of our bills, and we're sure not going to be able to make it. We're going to hold over House Bill 1025 until next we meet. I would entertain a motion to adjourn. Move Sutton, seconded him to adjourn. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.